If I were to give a title to this, the title would be what our Rebbe, Nate, has been trying to impress on us and plant the seeds for, and it's Kahal Echad, one congregation. And since I'm the new guy on the block, I have to share a little background with you. Before I even got to Adat, before I even met Nate, before I had a clue about any of this, the Lord started to really pierce my heart and get my attention all the time. He wouldn't back off. He started to draw my attention to things that had not been on my screen at all. And so I knew it was him. And it always some way somehow came back to the Jewish people, Israel. Jewish people, Israel. Jewish people, Israel. They had never been on my screen. And I really thought he was taking me out of the Christ Life ministry that I'm fortunate enough to be associated with. I thought he was taking me out of there. And I said, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, let's do it. Whatever you say, let's go. Boy, it was new territory, I'm telling you. But even at that time, as I was pondering this and praying over it, Lord, what are you doing to me? Why is this happening? Why are you drawing my attention to that place over there, Southwest Omaha? He began to, I believe, show me some glimmers of a vision and a purpose for little Adat. And a rabbi had just told me in Jerusalem recently, before this happened, before I first met Nate, he had told me, Jewish people don't trust anybody. They're paranoid. I said, well, I can understand that. He said, they don't trust you unless they really, really, really get to know you. I said, I can relate to that too, I understand. He said, they act like wounded children. I had that in the back of my mind when I was going to meet Nate for the first time. I had this vision of what I thought he was leading into and what this was all about, and that the Lord was trying to prepare certain people for a specific, very strategic job in the future. And I didn't know why I was going over to Nate. I just needed to talk to a Jew that was saved because there was some weird stuff happening to me, and I didn't think that a typical Gentile pastor would even understand, because I didn't understand. I had to talk to a Jew that was saved. I didn't know any Jews, so I had to find one. And Nate, his name came up. So I went to his house and rang the bell, wondering, what am I going to say to this man? How's he going to react to this weird guy he never saw before? So I know that he can't trust me. He don't know me from Adam. He's not going to trust me. So Nate opened the door, and I walked in. Hi, hello, sit down. Can I get you some water, tea or something, coffee, whatever? No, thank you. And so he sits there and looks at me, and I'm looking at him, and I'm trying to give him an idea of who I am and what I do and where I'm coming from. And I was trying to tell him a little bit about the Christ Life ministry I'm associated with. And I hadn't been there 10 minutes. And Nate said, hey, that sounds like something we could use in our congregation. Man, I need that. How do we do that? And he rolls out a big red carpet to the ministry and to me, and he didn't know me from Adam, and he was trusting me already. And it was like the Lord on his cell phone calls me and he says, can you hear me now? So I came to Adat with a vision. And because this is the first chance I get to share with my beloved Adat family in the capacity of an elder, I wanted to make sure that our leadership and I were on the same page, because if they're not, I was going to shut up and step down. So I did some serious face-to-face time with all of our leaders this last week. I talked to Nate on Monday. I talked to Roger and Kathy on Wednesday evening, and I talked to Denny and Lori Thursday afternoon. And blessed be God, we're on the same page. They have the same vision. And so I know God is up to something. And I know God has plans for this little family. But I don't think most of us, I don't think, have any idea yet as to why am I here. If you've come here 5 or 6 times, and you keep coming back, get a clue. God is trying to tell you something. I know, because that's how it started with me. God is forming an army. There's some incredible kind of D-Day coming, and he is forming an army very strategically. I believe that with all my heart. And so it's very helpful when you go to a big shopping mall that has several stories and just acres and acres of stores and shops. On every floor, they got these maps. And so you desperately are looking for the X spot that says, "You are here." You know, gotta have an X spot, otherwise you're lost. You are here. As soon as you get the X spot, you know what floor you gotta go to. You know how much distance you are separated from your destination. And now you can plot a course, but you gotta have the X spot. I believe Adat needs an X spot. Otherwise, we don't know why we're here. If you don't know that, you come for your own reasons. You're doing your own thing like everybody else. You come as a consumer. Well, let's see what they can do for me here. Let's see what I can get out of this. See, that's civilians. You're looking at the world through civilian glasses. See, when you look at it through civilian glasses, say, well, church is a nice suburban civilian bless me country club. Personal improvement, spiritual health spa. See, civilians look at everything through I, me, my, me. So they look at church, they look at everything that way. What can I get out of this? What can you do for me? There's plenty of other supermarkets available, you know. If I don't like it here, I'm out of here. I'll go to where I'm more comfortable, and they please me, and they meet my needs. See, that's the way we are until Almighty God penetrates the heavens and penetrates the earth and penetrates the hearts of men and women and gets their attention. See, because Torah tells us, the Tanakh tells us, the apostolic writings tell us the way reality really is, that we would not have a clue about unless God revealed it to us. But the reality is, there's a war going on. We're at war. We're caught up in a war. It's deadly, it's vicious, it's brutal, it's terminal. But you wouldn't know that unless God told you that his creation is so enormous. It has multi-layers and levels. It starts in the heavenlies that we know nothing about, except unless he tells us. But in the heavenlies, there are different levels and different ranks of spiritual beings, all under God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, at the highest level. And there's a war going on up there. It's been going on ever since Lucifer and his rebel angels turned their back on their creator and have done everything they can to trash God's beautiful creation, especially his beloved humans, because they were created to be his image and likeness. And they're doing everything they can to deform and deface the image and likeness of God that comes through his word, his written and living word. Everything was created through the word that comes from the heart of God. Living and active and creative word. And the word tells us there's a war going on up there in the heavenlies, and it's deadly. And it has an impact on every level of creation, all the way down to the physical level of creation where men walk. And the powers of darkness, after they got man to sin, sin did an incredible disfigurement and deforming process and corrupting process on creation, especially this one where men are. And there was a separation, there was a rupture, there was a breaking off of communication between the higher heavens of God's creation and this level. And sinful, corrupt human flesh became a point of entry into this world for the powers of darkness. And through those people that they can deceive and manipulate and control, the people serve as an embodiment for evil and darkness and wickedness and the other side. And God in his mercy and kindness, loving kindness, has to penetrate the heavens and the earth. And he did. And he penetrated one heart, the heart of a Chaldean moon worshiper by the name of Avram. He penetrated his heart and said, "You, drop everything and follow me. Leave your country, your father's house, and your people, and go to a land I will show you. I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. And whoever blesses you, I will bless. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring, your children in the flesh, and your children by faith." So there's a war going on, deadly war. The powers of darkness are out to wipe out every human being, any human being that is cut off from God through sin. He'll do everything he can to deface, to disfigure the word of God so that it cannot be recognized, so that he cannot be understood, so that they can't respond properly and be saved and restored back to their original image and likeness, blueprint specifications that are in the heart of God. Oh, there's all sorts of stuff going on. Vertical, vertical, vertical. Of course, if you don't know that, you're all horizontal, horizontal, horizontal. But the word of God is revealing it to us. The Torah is revealing it to us. The enemy has created an enormous minefield that is designed to wipe out God's beloved human beings. A minefield of traps that all lead to death and eternal separation from God. And God in his mercy, through his word, has put boundary markers, very clear boundary markers, a very narrow path through the minefield, the demonic minefield, calculated to wipe out God's loved beloved people. And so he sets his markers. The way to life, the way to freedom, the way to peace, the way to rest, the way to God. And Torah tells you, don't move the markers. Don't move the markers. Do you see why? Do you see God's love in that? Do you see the foolishness and ignorance of men and women who arbitrarily take it upon themselves to move the markers? If we do that, we can't be Kahal Echad. We can't be one new man in Messiah, because Messiah is the living Word of God made flesh, come to fulfill the written word of his Father perfectly. And if you move the markers, Yeshua gets morphed, disfigured, contorted, twisted, until it isn't even him anymore. Until the world is full of the big religious buffet. God as you like him. My God this, my God that. The stones are moved everywhere. It's crazy. It's deadly. It's a trap. Meanwhile, little Adot, sitting in the wilderness, what's her job? What is she here to do? I believe, beloved, you can read it for yourself and take it before God and ask him, but I believe that the expat for us is in the book of Joshua, the whole book of Joshua, the book that comes right after Torah. It is a story of the second Exodus generation. The first Exodus generation, as you know, were slaves for centuries. Boy, they had a slave brain, slave wiring, slave programming, slave glasses through which they viewed the world. It was so deeply embedded, they couldn't get over it. They couldn't forget it. They wouldn't forget it. They wouldn't rip it out and put in new stuff that God was giving them. So they navigated through the wilderness, always looking through the rearview mirror. Let's see, where are we going here? And they went as far as they could go. And then they stopped. And rather than have them be butchered by the Canaanites, because they were nothing but a mob of ex-slaves. They had not transformed into an army because they didn't really know it was a war. He says, oh, you die in the wilderness. I don't want you to go in there and get butchered. You stay put. But see, Kahal Echad, the Kahal of God transcends space and time. The Kahal of God transcends the centuries. God's Kahal is always connected to Avram, who became Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Moses, prophets, generations, Yeshua, and all those that are still to come is Kahal Echad. One people, the image and likeness of the God who is one. Big family that walks through the narrow gate and follows the narrow path of God's markers that will take you safely through the demonic minefield calculated to blow you to hell. Oh, the love of God, the love in each of those markers, the love in each stone, the love in each word, the love in each jot and tittle is all for you. And the first generation, they went as far as they could go. And their children, as long as they were children, were always under the glass ceiling of their hang-ups, their fears, their slave mentality, their mistrust of God. But then they grew up. The first generation was over. 40 years, biblical generation. First generation did its thing, came to its end. And the second generation that had been born in the wilderness, boy, they had some tough choices to make, didn't they? They had to say, now who are we going to be? Now what are we going to do? Shall we continue to drive by the rearview mirror? Or do you think we ought to start looking out through the windshield to see what's ahead for us? If we reinvent ourselves, we will not die in the wilderness. And Israel will be reinvented. There'll be a new version in the next generation of what Israel is and what Israel means in this world. And if we do that, then we'll be able to start passing it on. Until the Kahal Echad is complete. So, Joshua and Caleb, they had been born slaves. They had the same wiring, but awesome thing happened. They got off of the rearview mirror and started looking out the windshield. And then they had to depend on God rather than their religiosity and their habits and their traditions. They had to trust the living God who's moving to the fulfillment of his plan and purpose. And so there's a really parallel between the first generation of the Exodus and the first generation of the Messianic movement. See, we have a world full of marker movers, arbitrarily moving, making up God to suit themselves, but they won't receive his entire word. They won't receive his living word either. But the written word and the living word always come together. You cannot separate them. So you do that, you're trying to cut God in half. You can't do that. God is one. So you have a whole bunch of people. The Jewish camp. They love the written word, but they will not accept the living word. We have other people in another camp. Whole different kinds of them. They love the living word so much they make him up and change the stones, but they won't accept the written word. That's why they change the stones. There's a middle ground. I think God wants to build a bridge so that when he starts piercing and penetrating hearts and bringing them to conviction and repentance to himself, he's going to start bringing them. They got to meet in the middle. And guess where that is? We're stationed in the middle. And you know what a mess they're going to be when they come? Boy, they're going to beat up, bleeding, daggers sticking out of their back, all sorts of stuff. Teeth knocked out by their own relatives, you name it. No matter who it is. It could be a Muslim imam that gets penetrated and God brings him. Going to cost him everything. It could be a rabbi. It's going to cost him everything. It could be a Christian pastor. Could have cost him everything. Right, Denny? Right, Roger? But for Yeshua's sake, they come because they have a revelation of the living word of God that fulfills the written word of God, and they can't go without either one. So they come in the middle. And they're going to need somebody there for them. that understands. Somebody that will be able to look past their rough edges and their weird differences and their crazy background and their current state. We're going to have to know our job. We're going to have military level discipline, focus, and authenticity to do this job. We're going to have to be crucified. For real. Not just doctrinally, theologically, for real. Because those people that God's going to bring are going to be crucified. And they're going to love Yeshua so much, they're going to be so on fire with God because they know him. They won't care. They're already dead. They'll come, no matter what it costs or what it leads to, they'll come. How can God bring them to people that are not crucified themselves? It's always watch us, now you. That's how you train disciples. Not read the book, go to the movies, attend a college. No. You watch me interact with the living, risen Lord in this impossible situation. Watch. Oh, Lord, I'm a basket case. I'm bankrupt. I don't have anything, but I draw from you 100% based on your word. And the resurrection proves itself to be real through the flesh of crucified disciples who know God. And don't even have to be afraid of death because they're already connected. Since you have been raised with Christ, with Messiah, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, not on things below, for you died and your life is now hidden with Yeshua in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, you too will appear with him in glory. Kahal Echad. You can't be part of the Kahal if you're not connected to the head. And you can't know the head if you don't know what Father wrote. Unless you want some disfigured, deformed mutation. You got to have the complete word. Okay, so where is the dot? Where's the X? I believe we are camped on the east bank of the Jordan. On the verge of going in. We know too much, we can't go back. We don't know enough, and we got to have more, so we can't go sideways. We see the stone markers. But you know what happens when you cross the Jordan. You kiss your civilian life goodbye. Because there's a war going on. And when you cross the Jordan, you're in combat. And you better be Kahal Echad then, baby. See, here's our options. The war is everywhere. Everybody's going to get caught up in it, no matter who you are, what your color is, or what kind of uniform you're wearing. It don't matter. Your theology ain't going to get you saved. Everybody is going to be hit and caught up in this war. Your only option then is one of two. You will either go out there like a dumb, clueless civilian that's totally unprepared, lots of luck, or you will have gone through boot camp and you will be part of a fighting unit that's combat ready and is trained to do the job. What is the job? Maintain the connection. stay in the path that takes you through the minefield and receive all the others that God is bringing to beef up and increase the family, the kahal. Soon as you cross the Jordan, all right, everybody gets circumcised, crucified. First thing, what happened? Well, the first generation, they got circumcised, but they didn't circumcise their children. They didn't pass it on. They didn't include their children in the covenant. So, now that you cross the Jordan and you're in the land and you're getting ready for combat, for God's sake, get into the covenant with God. Or you're on the other side. Get in. Cut off your self-life. Cut off your past. Cut off your natural human devices and your adoration of them. Cut off being a slave to your appetites. Empty yourself of that, that God may fill you with his written and living word so that he can be made flesh in this generation too. If you do, you'll stop being a God seeker and become a God bringer, a moving, mobile temple of the presence of the Lord God of heaven and earth. Look out, Canaanites, here we come. See, and after you're circumcised, you're going to have to come to grips with the captain of the Lord's host. Oh, that's an awesome part. That's an awesome part. Remember Moses, the burning bush? Was that an appearance of God to him? Burning bush? Was that God getting his attention and getting in his face? Yes. And God said, take off your sandals, for the ground on which you stand is holy. Well, this time Hashem appears to him in the form of a man with a sword. And he says exactly the same thing to Joshua. Take off your sandals, for the ground on which you stand is holy. Uh-oh, no mistake in that clue. It starts with the leaders too, huh? Dressed for battle, holding a sword, and the living word centuries later said to his Talmidim, to his disciples, don't think that I've come to bring peace to the world. I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword! I've come to separate the stone movers from those that are mine. I've come to set a man against his father, a woman against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. I'm going to pick up my cross, and I'm going to go through the birth canal of death to show you what God thinks of fallen human flesh. I'm going to represent it before him. I'm their covenant representative. I'm going to go first. I don't deserve it, but I'm going, because I'm going as you. That's how much God loves you. And then he says to his Talmidim, follow me. Let's go. Where? To the spiritual self-improvement health spa? No. To the cross. Because there's a war going on, and we're in the military, we're in uniform, we're under orders, and we're going. And we win. So a dot, little a dot, the little congregation of people that at the beginning, they don't have a clue as to why God's bringing them in. They don't think they're anything special. They don't think they're important. They don't think they can know anything. They're just hungry and looking and searching, shopping. But if you keep coming, if we keep going, if this congregation crosses the Jordan, you're going to know why you're here. And you're going to know who called you. And you're going to know why. Because a dot will be God's living demo model of a Kahal Echad. That doesn't mean just we have lunch together and we're buddies. It goes a lot deeper and a lot further than that. You will be dealing with the people that are connected to Avram, Abraham, all the way back to the beginning, all the way through and all the way to the end. You will be dealing with people that are connected to the highest heavens and everything in between. You will be connected to people that are vertical. Disciples have been instructed and commanded by our master to bring down to the earth what is up above. This is how you pray. Our Father, who art in the heavens, hallowed be thy name here on earth, just the way they hallow it at your throne. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth to us, in us, through us, just the way it is in heaven. Let us be your image and likeness, your mirror image, so that when they look at this mirror, they see you, they hear you, they touch you. And you can touch them. Because there's a war going on. And we're in uniform. And we're here to take over. We're not an army with bazookas and tanks and rockets. We're an army that has become the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the New Covenant. A living, moving, mobile ark that contains the presence of the living God who is here to take back what is his. And he chose you. He chose you. Every one of you and many others that aren't here today, he chose you. You heard the call of the wild, and you come. What is it? What is it? Where is it? It wasn't your idea. It was something in your heart. Something wouldn't let you sleep. Something that you couldn't forget. You keep coming back. It's sort of like that poster that says, Uncle Sam wants you. But it isn't Uncle Sam. It's the creator of heaven and earth. Your heavenly Father has a job for you, has a task. It's going to cost you everything. It'll cost you everything. It'll empty you out of everything that is temporary and created, that you may be filled for all eternity with what you could never lose. But meanwhile, we got a war to fight because it isn't over. And there's terrible casualties. Christendom's taking enormous hits all the time. Here's why, because we're not Kahal Echad. Book of Joshua teaches you about Achan. Once you cross and you become an army, you're a covenant unity, a corporate one in God's sight. Kahal Echad. All it takes is one guy to move a boundary marker that God had put there specifically. He moved it. He disobeyed. He became a point of entry for the powers of darkness to wreak havoc on God's people. And sure enough, because they're Kahade Chal, they try to go fight the troops of Ai with arrogance and thinking, oh, we can whip these guys easy. We just need a few guys. Boy, they got whipped. 36 of them died. They hadn't done anything. But see, you can't look at this through individualistic civilian glasses. You got to look at it through military glasses, through corporate blood covenant glasses. We're Kahal Echad. When one of us goes down, we all go down. When one of us gets blessed, we all get blessed. When Roger or Danny go to speak at a church, we're going too. When Nate goes to San Antonio, we're in San Antonio. Because no matter what, we're one. So we all have to, for the sake of others as well as ourselves, for the sake of our household as well as ourselves, for the sake of lives that aren't even born yet, as well as ourselves, and for the sake of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and everything that comes between us, we got to do it right. According to the word of God, for our Heavenly Father's sake, so that he can be happy and fulfilled and get his people through the minefield safe and sound. If we start moving stones ourselves, we're no longer in the middle. We're nowhere. We're in the wilderness. So you cross the Jordan? Circumcision first. Prostrate before the captain of the Lord's host. There's a possibility. It could be a remote possibility. I don't know. None of us know. But because of Pastor Kennedy's illness, if they have to have a change in leadership in this congregation that we lease space from, they may decide, the new leaders may decide, we don't want to rent it out anymore. And then we're going to have to pick up and move. So how do we do that? Look through the rearview mirror and just die in the wilderness? Scatter, disintegrate? Or do we have a vision through our windshield that we're willing to live for and die for? That we're willing to sacrifice for? If we do, it might be a good idea to start a building fund voluntarily. And keep building on it a little bit every week. Because we're going to need a boot camp. We're going to need a training center. We're going to have facilities so that all the gifts that the Holy Spirit exhibits through various members of this Kahal can be allowed to work and develop and reproduce. You can't put it all on just a few shoulders, because then they die and it's over. We have to reproduce. We have to train disciples for real. Be like a dandelion that then, when they're all trained and ready, if God goes, off we go to our assignments, because we're ready, because we're trained, because we're in uniform, because we're under orders, and we know our job, and we're ready to do it come hell or high water. Boy, them's different glasses than civilian glasses. So, you take it to the Lord. You read it. You see if you can see any parallels. We are second generation messianics. We were only born 10 years ago. The messianic movement started probably when God says, okay, we're going to have the 6-day war. We're going to destroy the enemies of Israel. We're going to take back Jerusalem and get ready to install my son. We're going to start the wheels for his coming. Okay, they got Jerusalem. Psst, messianic movement. Plant the seeds. 40 years ago, 1967, one generation. Little Adat was born 10 years ago in the wilderness. Second generation. Boy, there was a huge difference between the second generation of the Exodus and the first generation. I wonder if there should be a huge difference between the second generation of the Messianic movement and the first generation. Or should we just keep looking through the rearview mirror? Or has God given us something to drive for? Just remember those people that are out there. You don't know them yet, but God's penetrating them. God's piercing them. God's crucifying them. God's calling them. Who's going to be there to meet them? Who's going to be able to understand? Who's going to be skilled enough to help them through their stuff? Who's going to be mature enough and focused enough to be able to see through all the fluff that they're going to bring in with them? And penetrate that until they become disciples and they become one of us. Who will go first? We've already got the leaders that have the heart of Joshua and Caleb. They are worthy leaders. They are trustworthy leaders. They've all been crucified one way or another. We may have more foreskin stuff to deal with, but their heart is right before God. And if he says they got to do it, they'll do it. But we need reinforcements. We need an army. We need to grow. We can't grow in this little. You can't put the Pacific Ocean in a bucket. You can't put the resurrection in a closet. And you can't train God-bringers once a week. We need a boot camp. I know God's got a facility for us somewhere. But do we have the team? Do we have the bullet heads? The kamikaze types? Banzai, let's go! Geronimo! You can't do that if you don't have a vision or a dream. You can't do that if you haven't been called. But if you keep hanging around, better check with your boss and see what he wants you here for. Thank you so much for your kind attention. I hope this was somewhat understandable. It isn't follow the yellow brick road. It's follow the way to life, faithfully, with military-like accuracy and precision, because God wants to love you all the way to the finish line without taking hits. God bless you. Let me read you. I'll close with a text. Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. Death and resurrection. How about that? Pattern all the time, everywhere. Arise, cross the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea toward the setting of the sun will be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, Joshua, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Amen.